Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we have phone lines open for you right now at 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. And if there's something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question you'd like to pose, call now, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel, and it's Veterans Day. And hello, Bob Christopher and Richard Piper.
Hello.
Well, it is Veterans Day, and we certainly want to extend our heartfelt thanks to all of those who have served in a military capacity for the freedom of this country. We often take that for granted, and we shouldn't. And I'm so thankful for days like today that we can be reminded again of the freedoms that we do have in this country and the sacrifices that have been made, both in blood and time and hardship and all of the things that our veterans have endured to guarantee those freedoms for us. So we have lots to be grateful for, don't we?
Indeed, we do.
Well, as far as Veterans Day is concerned, I thought we would just do a brief little history of Veterans Day, how it came into being. Back in World War I, there was a Treaty of Versailles that was signed, but as they look back, they saw that fighting actually ceased some 7 months before that treaty was signed. And so they named November 11th, 1918, as the day that the war to end all wars actually ended. Woodrow Wilson made an announcement about that, and he said, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride and the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." In 1938, it was declared to be a legal holiday known as Armistice Day, and then Eisenhower suggested that we change that from Armistice Day to Veterans Day. And so on June 1st, 1954, law was passed with approval of the entire legislative body that November 11th become a day to honor American veterans of all wars. And so we've been doing that ever since, and it's a marvelous day. I know we recognize the veterans in our fellowship group yesterday, and I know most churches did that. And there's something inspiring about that when they stand up and you just recognize, you know, what they've done for this great country. So today on the Basic Gospel broadcast, we extend our heartfelt thanks to all the veterans who are listening in. So thank you very much for your service. And as I was looking at this, I wanted to look at some passages in the Bible that talk about soldiers. And there are two very encouraging passages. Both are in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy, or Paul, starts out this particular chapter by saying this: "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I think that's a word to all of us. It was written to Timothy, Paul's young son in the faith. But it's a word to all of us. It's an encouragement to all of us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's where we've been planted. That's where our life now is, in Christ, in this grace that he's extended to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he says this: "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Pass on this good news. It's not just something to hold in, to keep in your heart as a reservoir. The Word of God, this good news, is really seen as living waters, as streams that flow. So let those streams flow out of you into the lives of others. Be sure to give those to reliable men who will also be able to teach others. And then he says this: "And endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." This way of life that we now have in Christ is not an easy life. It's simple in the sense that it's just about faith in Jesus Christ. That's all God is asking us to do, to rely upon Jesus Christ. He will live his life through us in that relationship. We can trust him to do so. But to endure hardship, the world is going to press in on us. The world is going to make fun of us. The world is going to throw obstacles in our way. And he says, endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You can just imagine what the soldiers went through in World War I and in World War II and in Afghanistan here of late and in Iraq. They endured incredible hardships. Why? For the sake of freedom, for the cause of freedom that's in this world, for the cause of freedom that is so important to us. We're going to have those same hardships and difficulties to overcome in this life that we live as soldiers of Jesus Christ. And he says, endure them. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. There was a task at hand for those soldiers in all of these various wars, and that task was to be carried out. You can't get involved in other things. You just have to listen to the orders of your commanding officer, and that becomes your mandate. Well, what mandate has God given us as soldiers of Jesus Christ? To be ministers of reconciliation, to be ministers of this new covenant in which we live in today. Those are our marching orders. Paul said, I want to do nothing more than finish the task that God has given me. And that task is simply to testify to the grace of God that is alive in Jesus Christ. That task is later defined as this ministry of reconciliation and this ministry of the new covenant. Those are our marching orders. That's what we're to do in this world. Will we endure hardship in doing that? Absolutely. Will the world come to our aid and help us along that path? Absolutely not. They're going to throw obstacles in that way. But we continue to march forward. And here's the reason. Here's what Paul said in verse 10 of that chapter. Therefore, I do everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why do we endure the hardships that we endure as believers in Christ? Because others need the message. Others need to be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Others need to be set free from the bonds of sin and death so that they could live a new life in this new covenant. Why do we endure hardship? For the sake of others. So our hats off today to those who served in military capacities for the sake of this country, but even so, more so, our hats off to those soldiers of Jesus Christ who are enduring hardship, who are carrying out the task of testifying to the grace of God so that others can be saved. That's amazing stuff, isn't it?
That's a soldier for eternity.
Yes, indeed.
This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. If you're a veteran, if you'd like to add something to the conversation, whether or not, you can call 1-800-677-9377. Open lines right now in the U.S. and in Canada. It's a toll-free call, and we'd like you to fill up those lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377. Call quickly. Guys, a very encouraging email that we received this morning from Stephen, who lives in California. Says, hi, brothers. Keep on keeping on with the good news. And Bob, this is good. I invest in your ministry every month. It is so much better than the stock market. What a great return. Always growing. It just doesn't get any better. I like that.
I like that,
yes,
too.
Yes. So I have a question. With all the programs on television, and I would add on in the movies as well, all of the evil spirits, the vampires, the zombies, witches, and all the occult paranormal activity so prevalent in today's society, is it possible for a true Christian to be possessed with a demonic spirit? He says, I see this question continually arising in this dark world we live in. It seems the end game is being stepped up more as these last days unfold. Can you address this with some scriptures out of the New Covenant? I would also like to encourage others, if they've been fed, to invest in the grace of God with the grace of giving. We all need this ministry. Thank you guys for being there and caring about the truth. That's from our brother Stephen in California.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for the email. Thank you for the encouraging words, and thank you for the financial gifts to this ministry. Yeah. It does reap eternal benefits for many listeners, not only here in the United States, but around the world. So thank you for investing in their lives, investing in the power of the gospel to make an eternal difference, not only for here, but eternity.
And having,
I guess that's an eternal difference, isn't it?
Having had some experience in the stock market, I think he's right, for sure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But as far as a Christian being possessed by a demon, is that a possibility?
No, it is not. You are possessed by Jesus Christ himself. There's no room for anyone else, nor will Jesus allow anyone else to have you. No one can pry you out of his hands. And that's from John 10, and that includes being possessed by Satan himself. Not possible.
Not possible at all. So if you're a believer, you will never be possessed by a demon. You may be influenced by a demon.
Or beset by.
Every time you go down the freeway, you're beset by all kinds of input. You just really are.
Absolutely. Well, how does a demon assert its influence or exert his influence on us? How do they do that?
Primarily by deception. There's something close enough to reality to kind of look real. But there's a hook in it that if you take the bait is going to lead you off into pain and agony. And that doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. All of us from time to time take our eyes off of Jesus. I'm talking about saved people now. All of us from time to time take our eyes off of Jesus, and we reap what we sow. But he never lets us go. He's always out there in the muck with us, says, you know, let me bring you back. But it's that deception. It's that, and that they talk about movies and television shows. One of the things that we know happens is that this stuff is like, it's there purposely to cause you to stop thinking about things so that you stop looking at the evil and you go, oh, it's just that. And you kind of get accustomed to it and you don't look at the negativity of it, and it allows you to think things that aren't true in a safe way, kind of a safe way. That's where the deception is, because that stuff has nothing to do with the things of God.
Right.
And just leave it alone.
Yeah. So a believer cannot be possessed by a demon. They can be influenced by a demon through his deceptive practices, and we at certain times in life we give in to those deceptions. We think the things of the world will make us happy. We think the things of the world will satisfy us in some way, and when we bite off a bite of that apple, so to speak, we find out there's no substance there at all. It's just empty. It's just empty promises. And we see that again, and that can bring us right back to truth. So that's why it's so important for us to know truth. That truth will set us free from those deceptive attacks that Satan will throw at us from time to time. And sometimes they can be extremely intense, others not so intense, more subtle. But he's always trying to do his work to lure us away from truth through these outlandish promises that he makes, as only he can do. So.
Yeah. And there's only one guarantee for knowing truth, and that, unfortunately, for us, you'd think this is a bad thing. Don't listen to us for truth. To our best ability in faith, in the grace of God, we present truth here on this program. But the only reason we can present it is because we've been reading the Word of God and having it revealed to us. And the same thing is available to every one of our listeners. That's where the safety is.
Yes, indeed. So Colossians 1:27, Paul says, I make this mystery known unto you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you're a believer, you have Jesus Christ living in you. And if Christ is there, Satan cannot be there. Also in Hebrews 13:5, the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So there's no possibility of Christ ever departing. So there's no room for Satan at any time from the moment you're saved throughout eternity.
Yeah. Stephen, hope you're listening, and we appreciate the fact that you've encouraged the other listeners to be a part of this ongoing support of this ministry, and we appreciate yours as well. Hope this has been a help to you. Plenty of open lines, friends, 1-800-677-9377. I ask you not to take for granted the fact that these lines are open every day. We're here to address your questions live on this broadcast, and we want you to be a part of this broadcast. So go ahead and give us a call. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open right now. Plenty of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. Bob, let's talk just for a second about profiles and character. This is something, friends, that we're offering to you for a gift of any amount this month. It's by Bob Christopher, and it's a wonderful opportunity to go in and see that many times in life, the most unlikely of people prove to be the true heroes. And Bob talks about several of these in this particular three CD series, Profiles in Character. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and all you need to do to get yours on the way is go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828, and speak with our operator, and we'll get a copy on the way to you. Hope you'll take advantage of this for a gift of any amount, Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher. Guys, a quick question. This is from Maria, who lives in Bridgeport, Connecticut. She says, why is it that I always hear that you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit for the speaking in tongues, and that's supposed to be evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit? I thought once you were saved and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become with the Holy Spirit, not by speaking in tongues, not with that evidence.
Yeah, speaking in tongues has never been, necessary as a proof of salvation. We see that in the book of Acts as showing to kind of unbelieving Jews that Gentiles and Samaritans were to be included in the body of Christ, that they were going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit just as the Jews were. So that was some confirmation to some unbelieving Jews. But as far as us today, we don't need that gift to assure us. Some people say that that's necessary, but I don't think the Bible supports that in any way, shape, or form. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and He assures our hearts. He testifies with our human spirit that truly we belong to God, that we are children of God. So it's an internal witness, and we can see that. And then that's verified through external things. Not the speaking of tongues, but a life of love. There's only one way that we can express the love of God to other people, and that's through the work of God's Spirit inside of us. He first of all teaches us the meaning of love, the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of the love of God, which passes all understanding. That's the work of the Spirit. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 3. And then as He works in our lives, He gives us the fruit of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So for us to have the fruit of love expressed through us, we have to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. So the language of the Spirit is not tongues, it is love. And that's what He wants us to express. As Paul said, the only thing that counts. And when somebody says the only thing that counts, you better star it, pay attention to it. That's a neon sign flashing in the Word of God, Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts is this, faith expressing itself in love. And the Holy Spirit is the source of that love in and through us. So when we see ourselves loving others as Christ has loved us, that's a sure sign that we've been saved. The Apostle John, that's the one of the big themes of his letter, his first letter, that if you love others, you know that God's Spirit is alive, living in you.
Yes, indeed.
So that's the good news right there.
Yeah. 1-800-677-9377. Some time and an open line for you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Sheila in Englewood, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I want to read history verses from Matthew chapter 12, and you would explain it for me, please. When the unclean, verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. I'm reading from the King James. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and enter in and dwell there. And the rest, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I understood that at one time to be that a person accept Christ, but it wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. So then this unclean spirit, when they receive Christ or is cast out, when they get cast out because they have to leave when the person accept Christ, then they go out and then they come back to come in. Could you explain it, see if that is right or wrong, please? Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Sheila. Thanks for the call and an excellent question. It's just simply saying when an evil spirit comes out of a man. So if there's an evil spirit that is dwelling in a person, you know automatically that person is not saved. So what it's saying is, we can try to get the evil out of our lives, but if that's all we try to do, what's going to happen later on is we're going to find more evil coming in. That's just the way it is. So Christianity, what this passage is saying is this: Christianity is not a self-reformation program. It's not about self-improvement. There's no way that we can improve ourselves. There's only one way that change can occur in our lives, and that's if we first receive Jesus Christ. If we first go from death to life, and then we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, who can change us from the inside out. So this isn't a person who believed in Jesus and had an evil spirit removed, and then because he didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not what this passage is talking about at all. Many who say that who have this theology that you receive Jesus one day and then the Spirit of God at a subsequent time, they try to use this as a support verse, as a verse that proves that theology, but it doesn't at all. It just simply says if somebody has an evil spirit, if they have an evil spirit, you know they're not saved. And if all that happens is that evil spirit leaves and Jesus doesn't come and live inside of them, then more evil is going to come back. Yes. And their condition is going to be worse than it was to begin with. Well, I hope that helps, Sheila. Thanks for your call today. Thanks for being a part of today's Basic Gospel program. We sure appreciate it.
And thanks to everybody who joined us today. We appreciate it. We're here every day, and we invite you to be also. And to show our appreciation for your support of Basic Gospel, for your gift of any amount, we have an excellent 3-CD series that we were talking about earlier, and we did so last week. It's for you. It's Profiles in Character by Bob Christopher. In this series, Bob outlines some very important lessons showing that sometimes in life, the most unlikely of people prove to be the true heroes. You know, throughout biblical history, God has looked for people of character, those who reflect his light in this world of darkness. But what makes someone stand out in this world? Well, Bob unlocks the secret in 3 life-changing biblical accounts in Profiles in Character, yours for a gift of any amount. To make your gift and receive your CD series, call 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or basicgospel.net. We also invite you to join our email list. By clicking subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net, you'll get late news about the ministry, about upcoming events, and information about new products and resources to enhance your understanding of the Christian life. So click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. Also, if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We close today's broadcast again with a word of thanks to all of those of you who served in our armed forces. As this is Veterans Day, we appreciate so much your service to our country. As we close, also for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again Monday, or today, or tomorrow, sometime anyway, at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.